Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Bible teacher and translator Dr. Paul Esposito and Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. Dr. Esposito is the translator of the English Majority Text, New Testament, as well as the Apostles' Bible, a modern English translation of the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament, both available through Amazon Publishing. And now here with today's broadcast is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Thank you for joining us here. This radio broadcast, WGOD, is brought to you by the excellent people of Island Community Church. We invite you to attend one of our services. Our next service is tonight, 6 o'clock. We started a brand new book last week. It's the book of Daniel. We're in chapter 2. We're going to see the first of Daniel's visions. Actually, this vision is going to come from Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he's going to be so upset by it, he's going to start killing anyone that can't tell him what his dream means. That's where we're going to pick it up here tonight, 6 o'clock. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, you guys still have 28 minutes to make it to church tonight. We would love to see you. Join us in person at Island Community Church or join us online on our Facebook page. That will turn on live right at 6 p.m. tonight. So, okay, here on the radio now, this sermon is entitled Truth and Testimony. This is where the Lord led me this week. We're in Acts chapter 21, but we've been following the Apostle Paul on the road, and it seems, well, it's not just it seems, it's the truth, that everywhere he goes, there's a riot. Now, last week and today, this is going to be the worst riot of all. Now, we're going to look at why today, why there's riots everywhere that he went. I actually have an answer to that question. That's where we're going to be here today. This will wrap up tomorrow, and then we'll hear Paul's testimony here with the rest of this sermon. That'll probably be tomorrow by the time we get to that. Here now, though, we're going to look at truth. We're going to look at why there's riots. We're going to look at why people hate you who are a Christian. There's a reason for these things. I'll leave that at that. We'd love to see you here tonight. Here we go with part one of this sermon now. Truth and testimony. Truth and testimony is what I've entitled this. We're having an awesome time through the book of Acts, aren't we, church? Each and every week has been excellent. Now, we left off last week, if you guys remember, with a cliffhanger last week. Now, Paul's been, well, I won't call it arrested, but the Romans have apprehended him because the Jews are ready to tear him to pieces. Perhaps the worst riot of all of the riots that we've seen in the New Testament. Now remember, his preaching resulted in riots in each and every city that he went to. Now please, always remember the reason why there was riots everywhere that he went, okay? The reason why, because it still rings true today, the reason for these riots. And that is this. People are offended by truth. That's the reason. People are offended by the truth. They always have been, they are today, and they always will be. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, or as I like to call him, Pontius Pilates. So Pilate said to him, speaking to Jesus, he said, "Are you a king then?" So Jesus answered, he says, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." Then he says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in this man. Now, 2,000 years ago, they're still offended by the truth. But even Pilate, now don't misunderstand him, you see. He was not offended by truth. He was just too scared to do the right thing. Because he worried about getting fired from his job instead of doing the right thing and sticking up for Jesus. Look at what Pilate said about him. He said, I find no fault in Jesus at all. Even Pilate's wife warned him to let him go because she had a terrible dream the night before. Don't lay a finger on Jesus' head, his wife said to him. My main point is people are offended by the truth. That's why they kill Christians today and did back then. Because they're offended at the truth. Sounds like a spiritual problem to me, doesn't it? Right? I mean, who's upset that God loves them? Here we go. We're back here again. Right? You're offended that God loves you. That's my little signature for my email. If I send you an email, it's that. If you're offended that God loves you, then you've been deceived by somebody that hates you. Think about that. You're upset that God loves you. We're going to see some more of that here today. But people are offended by the truth. I'm reminded of Paul's sermon on Mars Hill a few weeks back here, Acts chapter 17, verse 30, where Paul wrote, truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he's given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now, once again, we see how various people respond to the truth. Verse 32, now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked him, while others said, well, we'll hear you again on this matter. That was Acts 17, 30 through 32. Hear me now. People are offended by the truth. And if you're offended that God loves you, then you got to peel back the layers of this onion here. Something else is going on. If you're upset that God loves you, something else is going on here. This is a spiritual battle that's going on. Who is offended that God loves them? Is there anyone in this church that's upset that God loves them? Or how about you watching on YouTube? Be it physical truth or spiritual truth, everyone who is of the truth, Jesus says, hears my voice. If you are of the truth, you'll hear what he says. He says, I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. If you're of the truth, you'll hear that and say, that's for me. Count me in. That's for me. I am the door. Whoever enters in by me will be saved. Well, I want to be saved. How about you? I'm of the truth. I hear that and I say, count me in, Lord. I hear it. I receive it. I bow the knee and call you, Lord. Now, here's some more truth for you on this Sunday morning. John chapter 11, verse 25. The Lord Jesus said to Martha, not this Martha, but another Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he will die, he shall live. Then he said, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now that's the truth. And that, by golly, is some pretty good news here today. I mean, imagine if he comes back before we have another communion. Think about that. All who live and believe in me shall never die. Those that are of the truth hear that and say, yes, count me in. Right? Count me in. If you're not of the truth, then you just can't wait to get out of here. Man, oh man, I visited the wrong church. That guy telling people that Jesus loves me. Now, if you feel that way, we can fix that today. Because that's unnatural to feel that way. And if it's unnatural, he's got the solution for that. Because he's better. He is the king of supernatural. He can fix that problem today. If you're upset that God loves you, he can fix that today. Because there's a spiritual war going on. This is what Satan's the master of deception. If you're upset that God loves you, you've been influenced here, and we can fix that today. We can fix that problem. Now Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Now let me say one more time this morning before we move on, because for some reason, this is where the Lord's got me here today, speaking about truth. There's a whole shortage of it out here today in the world. And I want to share with you the reason why all this trouble has come about here in the book of Acts. To the Apostle Paul and to the Lord Jesus as well. And to many of you. And that is the denial of the truth. God's attributes, the Bible says, are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So that men and women are unapologetos. No apology. Without excuse. I'd say fall in or fall out. Jesus said in his prayer back to his heavenly Father, he said, thy word is what? Truth. Thy word is truth. Okay, now let's go along here. Let's move on to Paul's testimony here. We're in Acts chapter 22. Starting from the top, verse 1. You know, they asked Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the world? You know what he said? He said, take heed that no one deceives you. That's Satan's number one weapon. That's his only weapon. That's his only weapon. Satan has been defanged and declawed, and he has no power and authority over you. His power is to deceive you, to think that something is something while something is actually something else. Just like the Wizard of Oz, right? That dog comes and pulls that thing. Whoop. What does he say? Huh? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. You read about in the book of Isaiah when they finally expose him, the people are going to say, really? Are you the one? Are you the one that caused all this trouble? You see, everyone sees that. And yet the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's got no power over or authority over you. His power over you is to deceive you. If you let him. If you let him. Heard a little boy once, this boy's age here, Giovanni. The devil kept talking to him in the dark at night and saying, you belong to me. So the boy Giovanni's age opened up his Bible and it says, greater is he that is in me, he that is in the world. He slid it under his bed and he said, read it for yourself, devil. And that was the last time he heard that. You just shine the light of truth. That's all you got to do. You shine the light of truth. Now, let's pick it up here from the top. Verse 1. Brethren, all right, Paul's giving his testimony. That's where we left off last week. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. Now, when they heard that he spoke to them in Hebrew, they kept silent, all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and I was zealous towards God, as all of you are today. Now I persecuted this way, catch the capital W there for way. That was the early name for Christians. They were called the way. Like when Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what the Christians were known as there, followers of the way. So he says, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest who bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened, as I journeyed and I came near Damascus, right around lunchtime, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? You know, we don't know if he said, who are you, Lord? Or if his knees knocked, you know, who are you, Lord? Really? And he said to me, I am, or ego eimi Iesus. I am Jesus, the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. So you see, when a person persecutes you, they're ultimately persecuting him. And that's why they do this. I mean, this is a spiritual thing. I've said it before, maybe to some people in this church this past week. It's not a physical thing. This is a spiritual problem here. Can only be dealt with the spiritual solutions. Why are you persecuting me? Right out of his own mouth, this is what he said. Now, Jesus also said in Matthew 25:40, he said, inasmuch as you've done this to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. When a Christian gets persecuted and treated badly, then Jesus takes that personal. So when something always for you to remember, too, in school, Giovanni, when someone hates you and persecutes you, they're not really persecuting you, they're persecuting him. You just represent Jesus, whether you know it or not. You just represent Jesus. They're not persecuting you, though they are. But you got to peel back the layers here and find out what's really going on. They're persecuting him. And all of this life that we live is a spiritual battle that we're in. And that's where it's won. It's got to be won spiritually. This battle's got to be won on your knees. Right? Right? That's Ephesians chapter 6. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not the person. It's the force behind the person. It's won by prayer and fasting. That's how this battle is won. Prayer. Fasting. Recognizing where he is. I don't know why we're here today. I really don't. I mean, we're looking at a testimony today. This is where the Lord has us here today. Recognizing, acknowledging truth. Realizing, recognizing, acknowledging why people have a problem with truth. Recognizing, realizing, and seeing how to combat that. Recognizing, realizing who we are in Christ. Right? So Jesus considers this a personal attack on himself. And that includes someone doing something to you, and that includes you doing something to somebody else who belongs to him. I read back in the Old Testament that David, before he was king, he wouldn't lay a finger on Saul, though everyone wanted him to. He knew that God was going to take care of Saul, and he didn't need to do anything. He left it up to the Lord. He knew that God was going to deal with King Saul in his own way and in his own time, and he wasn't going to lay a finger on him. Okay, now verse 9. Now, though he's on his testimony. Now, those who were with me, they saw the light and they were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to me, "Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all the things which are appointed for you to do." And since I could not see because of the glory of that light, being led by the hand by those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, he came to me. And he stood and said to me, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that same hour, I looked up at him. Then he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you so that you should know his will, see the just one or the righteous one, and hear the voice of his mouth." So God's chosen you, Paul, so that these three things: number one, you'll know the will of God; number two, so that you'll see the Messiah; and number three, so that you'll hear his voice. Verse 15, "For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen." Now, of course, to be an apostle, you had to see Jesus, okay? That's why there's no more apostles today. Because to be an apostle, according to Acts chapter 1, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, to be an apostle, you had to see Jesus with your own eyes. So, okay, he continues here. "You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and get baptized. Wash away your sins." Uh-oh. "Wash away your sins from getting baptized?" How does that work? Again, he says, "Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Not a very popular verse here today. This verse signifying the importance of baptism. All right, now several points of interest here should be noted here in these verses. First, Ananias states that it was the God of our fathers who had ordered the events on the road to Damascus. If the Jews were going to oppose and resist what had happened, they were really fighting against God and not just fighting against Paul. Second, Ananias told Paul he would be a witness for the Lord to all men. This should have prepared the Jewish crowd for Paul's announcement that he had been sent to the Gentiles. Third, Paul was to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. All right, now here's where the arguments occur. I read this fascinating commentary in preparation for this sermon, and it took me back to the day of Pentecost, back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when Peter said to the Jews, when they said to him, "What must we do to be saved?" Or, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." Now, my commentary says, only Jews were ever instructed to be baptized for the remission of sins. In Acts 2:38, which I just read to you, and right here in Acts 22:16. Here's that commentary. Let me read this to you. It is important to notice that only Jews were ever told to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. In this fact, we believe, is the secret to understanding this passage. The nation of Israel had crucified the Lord of glory. The Jewish people had cried out, "His blood be on us and on our children." Matthew 27:25. The guilt of the Messiah's death was clearly claimed by the people of Israel. Now, some of these Jews had come to realize their mistake. By repentance, they acknowledged their sin to God. By trusting the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they were regenerated and received eternal forgiveness of sins. By water baptism, they disassociated themselves from the nation that crucified the Lord and identified themselves with Him. Baptism thus became the outward sign that their sin, in connection with the rejection of Christ, had been washed away. It took them off Jewish ground, placed them on Christian ground. But baptism did not save them, because only faith in Jesus Christ can save you. To teach otherwise is to teach another gospel. So again, as I keep repeating in here many times, the book of Acts is a historical book. Nowhere else in the Bible does the Word of God say to get baptized to have your sins washed away. Okay? Everyone good with that? The Apostle John put it this way, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, perhaps there truly was something to having a first century Jew make a public confession and repent of their sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins for denying the Savior. I don't know. All I know is that it is not required of you for the remission of your sins. Confession and repentance is what's required of you for the remission of sins. Everyone good with that? We're just trying to ascertain why it seemed to be different here for some Jewish people back in the day than it was for everyone else. This commentary has only pointed out that only Jews were told to do this, to be baptized for the remission of sins. Maybe it really was baptized for the remission of sin, singular. Okay, verse 17, and his testimony continues. Now it happened, when I returned to Jerusalem and I was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance. And I saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they would not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know in every synagogue I imprisoned and I beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting to his death. And I guarded the clothes of those who were killing him. So then he said to me, depart, and I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. Verse 22. Now, and they listened to him until this word. And then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth.
You've been listening to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Esposito from Merritt Island, Florida. To contact Pastor Paul, write to him at elected77@gmail.com. The church's website is islandcommunitychurch.net. The videos of Pastor Paul's sermons are available on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. To claim, as some progressive politicians do, that Jesus would have been pro-abortion is nonsense, of course. However, it does point to a larger problem that's been made worse in the internet age. Lacking an understanding of logic and critical thinking, people often confuse assertions with arguments. Now, an argument is a particular kind of thing. It's not just saying something's true.